think of Jesus Christ, what kind of an image comes into your mind? A meek and mild and gentle, easygoing kind of guy? Or maybe somebody you see in the picture that always carries lambs around his shoulders as he's walking along the countryside. Or maybe it's a person who's full of love and is accepting of everybody. Or maybe you see Jesus as a warrior. You realize he was the son of a carpenter. He was a construction worker, and you say he must have been a lean, mean fighting machine. I believe Jesus Christ was the greatest warrior of all time. He did spiritual battle everywhere he went. Every day he battled against the devil and the forces of evil. He was victorious over sin. He was victorious over death. Three days later, he walked out from the grave alive. And when Jesus Christ returns, he won't be coming on a little meek and mild donkey, but the Bible says he'll come on a great white horse. John the apostle writes this about his return. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. On his robe and on his thigh has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Sounds like a warrior to me. For the past 4 weeks, we've been challenging the people in our church, and especially our men, to become warriors. I believe our culture today is lacking men who will take a stand and step up in the marketplace and make decisions based on character and integrity instead of greed. Our culture today is lacking men who will honor their marriage vows and protect their families no matter what the cost. Men, if you are going to be victorious warriors, you must decide what is most important to you. How are you going to make a difference in this world? What is the legacy that you're going to leave? What are the values that you're going to pass on? If you're going to be a warrior who wins at life, I think there are three questions you must be willing to answer. Question number one, what is the cause I must embrace? In other words, what am I going to give my life to? Why did Jesus accomplish so much in just 3 years of his earthly ministry? I believe it was because he was very clear about the cause he must embrace. He was clear about his mission and his purpose. He said this, "For the Son of Man," meaning himself, "came to seek and save the lost." In other words, the heart of God was to save lost people. The heart of God was to send his Son, Jesus Christ, to reconnect people that were far from God back to God. And because lost people were the Lord's heart, we believe that must be our concern as well. Today it's said that 85% of people in Phoenix do not go to church. Our mission at CCV begins by saying we exist to reach people for Jesus Christ. I want to ask you, what is the cause that you're committing your life to? Because every warrior has a cause. If you don't have a worthwhile cause to give your life to, you're going to find yourself end up going after the wrong things. We see it all around us today. Bored warriors, bored men with no cause and no purpose in life. And what happens? They self-destruct from drugs or alcohol or pornography or greed. And then not only they self-destruct, but they also destruct and destroy others around them, whether it's their business partner or they abandon their spouse or they leave their kids. All throughout the Bible, we see story after story of God giving people a cause to invest their life in. Began with Abraham. Abraham, he says, "I want you to take your family and go." "Where am I going?" "I don't know. I'll show you when we get there." What was the cause? "You will be the father of a great nation." To Moses, who was tending sheep out in the desert, he said to Moses, here's his cause. "I want you to go and rescue my people from bondage and slavery and lead them out of Egypt." To Esther, who was the queen, her cause, "I want you to go before the king, even if it costs your life, and I want you to save the Jewish people." Or to Joshua, after Moses died, he was the young man that was called to take the people into the promised land. The Bible puts it this way. It says to Joshua, "Be strong and courageous. Be a warrior, because you will lead the people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them." That was his cause. Every warrior has a cause. One of my favorite movies of all time was Braveheart. William Wallace, played by Mel Gibson, was a warrior. He had a cause to fight for. His cause was to give his people freedom. I want you to listen to what he said as he tried to rally his men to fight for a cause. Man, if that doesn't pump you up and get you excited, we've got pink slippers out there for everybody and before you go home today. Every time I see that, I just want to go home and put some blue paint on. I mean, I just want to go get them. You know, you never know what's going to happen. Trust me, somebody's going to pay for that. Every warrior has a cause to embrace. Every warrior has a cause to fight for. Shannon Rossmiller was a princess warrior. She was a stay-at-home 34-year-old mom that lived in Montana. And on 9/11, she watched in horror as the Twin Towers in New York fell to the ground. And she said, "This is my cause I'm going to give my life to." She began to study Arabic. She also posed online as a member of Al-Qaeda so that she could entice would-be terrorists into exchanging emails with her. In August 2002, she tracked down a Pakistani arms dealer and turned him into the FBI. In 2003, she exposed a National Guardsman who wanted to sell weapons secrets to other countries. And in 2004, as he was court-martialed, her identity was exposed. And after that, she received death threats. This 34-year-old stay-at-home mom didn't let it bother her. She said, quote, "With anything important, you got to be willing to take some risk," end of quote. She's a warrior. You see, she found the cause that she wanted to embrace, that she wanted to give her life to. I want to ask you, what about you? What is the cause that you are willing to live for, to work toward, to fight for, even to die for? The first action point, I will discover my cause. And maybe today or later on this week, would you write down your cause? What is the thing the next 10 years that you would say, I'm going to invest my life in, I'm going to give it everything I've got? The second thing a victorious warrior must deal with is, what are the fears that I have to overcome? See, every warrior has to deal with his or her fears before they go into battle. And let's face it, during the last year, a lot of warriors have been struggling with fear. Why? The stock market has dropped significantly. The housing market is down. Unemployment is up. 401(k)s have taken a nosedive. Many warriors are out of work and they're afraid. 2,000 years ago, when Jesus walked out of the tomb, he met two ladies on the way that Easter morning to anoint his body with spices, and they were astonished. And he said to them, "Don't be afraid." And then later that day, he met the disciples huddled together in the upper room. They were scared to death. And again, he opened the door, and he said to them, "Don't be afraid." And I'm here to tell you the message of Easter is still relevant 2,000 years later, where we're worrying about the economy, we're worrying about our jobs, we're worrying about the home, and God wants to come to each of us and say, "Relax, trust me, don't be afraid." You see, we call fear by many names today. We call it anxiety, we call it stress, we call it worry, we call it tension. God doesn't want you to be afraid. The Bible says, in Christ, we can come before God with freedom and without fear. Circle without fear. How do we do that? We do it through our faith in Jesus Christ. If you don't have faith in Jesus Christ, you're in trouble and you should be afraid. But if you have faith in Jesus Christ, He will help you get through any fear that you face. What are the three things that you must do if you want to overcome your fears? Number one, I must accept God's love. Bible says there is no fear in love. Why? Because God's perfect love drives out fear. You see, fear and love are opposites. Fear and love cannot exist together. One will overcome the other. The deepest need that every one of us have in life is unconditional love. God created us so He could love us. Why then did He send Jesus Christ? So that we might know Him and we might love Him back. For God so loved us that He sent Jesus Christ, that if we would accept Him by faith, we wouldn't die, but we would live forever. You want to overcome your fears? You got to accept God's love. Secondly, I must believe that Jesus died and rose from the grave. This is the central message of Easter. This is what makes Christianity different from other major religion. Everybody today says we're tolerant. Everyone goes to the same place no matter what you believe. That's not true. Bible doesn't say that. All religious leaders lived. All religious leaders died. Only Jesus rose from the dead and is alive in heaven today. Do you realize today we say the younger generation, what's in trouble with them? They're falling away from the church, falling away from God. This week I read 67% of people 20 to 29 believe that Jesus rose from the dead. Two-thirds of people in America today in their 20s believe that Jesus rose from the dead. This is going to catch you off guard. 54% of people over 30 believe Jesus rose from the dead. Maybe it's going to take revival from the younger generation to bring some of us older people back to reality. Listen, I believe the message about Jesus is true. I believe He is the only Son of God. I believe He is the only way to eternal life. And because of that, I can live my life with courage and confidence. You say, but what about the economy? I don't know about the economy. I'd probably say I don't really care, but that would rock your world. You know why? God's in charge. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but I know God's in charge. God created the world. God sustains the world. And someday, every one of us are going to stand before God, the ultimate judge, and give an account for what we did with our life in this world. And so I've got to accept God's love. I've got to believe that Jesus died and rose from the grave. And thirdly, if I'm going to get rid of my fear, I've got to commit my fears and my life to Jesus Christ. You see, part of the reason so many people are scared about what's going on right now is because they place their trust in the wrong places. And when you place your trust in things other than God, you're going to be afraid. You say, what do you mean? If you put your trust in your ability to get a good job, that works great until you lose your job. If you put your trust in your ability to put a big nest egg away for retirement and then your 401k crashes, you're in trouble. You see, anything that we put in the place of trusting God will cause us to be afraid. The Bible says don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of anyone and don't worry, but have reverence for Christ in your heart and what? Honor Him as Lord. In other words, don't play church. Make Jesus the number one goal of your life. Commit your fears, your struggles, your anxiety of what's going on right now. Turn it over to Jesus Christ and let Him handle it. Chris Simmons was struggling with life. He was afraid. He didn't know where to turn. And 1 year ago today on Easter, he made a decision that he couldn't handle his problems anymore, and he decided to find a church. I want you to listen to his story.
Hi, I'm Chris Simmons. I did believe in God, but I didn't necessarily feel that you had to go to church to have a relationship with God. And growing up wasn't always easy. When I was born, my mom was an alcoholic. I lived in three different states, and for a while we lived in a car. So with everything that was going on with my mom and my family and just the chaos that was everyday life, I started using drugs in the middle of high school and drinking and smoking pot, and then just started using everything. I think the only drug I haven't done is heroin. Around 1996, I met my wife. She knew I did drugs, but she wouldn't really put up with it, and she gave me an ultimatum to where if I was going to do drugs, then she wasn't going to be with me. Well, I stopped doing the drugs, but I continued. I drank a lot. Just before Easter, I had finally had enough, and I was drinking pretty heavily, and I decided that this is it. I'm done. I was like, I don't think I can do this on my own. I decided to try and find a church to go to for Easter. So we decided to come to CCV. And from the first sermon, I was hooked, and I knew this was for me. After I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior and was baptized, everything has just been great. I can't imagine my life without Jesus because it's night and day from where I was and where I am now. And I have Him to thank for it, and, you know, I owe everything I have to Jesus Christ. And, you know, I know there's probably some people out there that have been in the same situation as I was in or are going through it right now, and all I can really say is let all that go and trust God to take control of your life, and He'll do great things for you.
Every one of us have to make the same decision. Are we going to be in control of our fears and our struggles? Are we going to come to the end of our rope where we say, I can't deal with this anymore. I need some help, and I'm going to turn it over to God. The question then, the action statement is, I will determine my allegiance. You see, if you're going to be a victorious warrior, you got to determine every day, who do you get up and live for? Many of us, we live for the approval of our parents, and I'm amazed the number of people that are middle age and still want their parents' approval. I'm also amazed how many parents today that do everything to please their kids. Oh, if we're not careful, it's our friends, peer pressure. We give in to try and please other people, and no matter how you try to please all of those other people, you will never find joy and peace in life, because sooner or later, they'll disappoint you or let you down. Only Jesus Christ can give you the peace that you need and release your fears. We got to get up every day and say, I'm going to live for an audience of one. Lord, I'm going to please you no matter what anybody else thinks. The Bible puts it this way. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and what? He will take care of everything else. If you're going to be a victorious warrior, what's the cause you must embrace? What are the fears you have to overcome? And then thirdly, what is the strategy that you must develop? How are you going to go about taking on your opponent? We are involved in a life and death battle today. And whether we realize it or not, how we live, the decisions that we make every day will determine whether we spend eternity in heaven or in hell. And once you cross over and you say, I'm going to be a follower of Jesus Christ, wake up, you have a spiritual enemy. He's called the devil. And he will do everything that he can. He hates you. He can't stand what you stand for. And he will come against you and everyone that you love. So warriors, if we're going to fight, how's the best way to fight? Problem is, you see, a lot of us have grown up at church in one time in our life. And we're still living under the assumption that we're in a great Christian American nation. And all of our values are godly and centered in the Word of God. And that's not true. We are no longer the home team. Look at the media. They portray the church as unusual, as preachers, as weird, and they look at Christians as unusual. And therefore, we are no longer the home team. We are the visiting team, which means we don't change our message. It is the truth, but we have to reevaluate our strategy. How are we going to get a hearing today when most of the world thinks we're out to lunch? Let me suggest two or three things. Number one, way to fight is by touching a knee. Sometimes the best way for a man of God to fight is by getting on his knees. How in the world did Jesus Christ stay on target? The religious leaders were after him. Everybody surrounded him. They wanted him to heal their family and friends. Everywhere he went, he had mobs following him and crowds. How did he get any time to himself? How did he stay on point? Because he spent significant amounts of time in prayer talking to his Father. Listen to his advice on how to deal with things. He said, "Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." You see, sometimes the best thing you can do is what? Turn your fears and your struggles over to God and let Him handle the situation. Oh, but Pastor, my wife needs to change. Your job's not to change your spouse. Your job is to love your spouse. Or maybe you're saying, you know, my business partner, man, I've been doing some work with some subs, and they said they would pay me, but my subs haven't paid up, and I'm going under, and I'm going to sue them. Well, you can probably sue them for all you want. Chances are they've already declared bankruptcy, and they've started a new corporation. And so you're going to have to what? Let it go. Or maybe you have that strong-willed teenager, and they won't do what you say, and you are always hitting heads. You can still say you're in charge, or you can get on your knees, and you can say, God, I can't deal with this. I need your help to see things as you see. Sometimes we're going to fight, touch a knee. Second way is to turn a cheek. This is tough for warriors, man, to turn the cheek. But Jesus did this. Remember when the soldiers came to the Garden of Gethsemane to arrest him? What did he do? He just stood there. But old Peter drew his sword and took a swing at one of the soldiers' head and missed, but he cut off part of his ear. And Jesus reattached the ear and he said, Pete, put that sword away. Now is not the time for that kind of response. And later on that week, his body was beaten severely. His body was mutilated. He was nailed to a cross to die. And our Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, could have called down legions of angels to wipe out everybody that was hurting him. But he didn't take that approach. He said, my motive is not revenge. My motive is love. And so he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Warriors today, Christian men and women, sometimes that's the way you got to fight. Sometimes you have to forgive those who have hurt you, and you take the blow, you take the verbal abuse, you absorb the hurt like a man. Other times, you're going to have to forgive your spouse. You're going to have to be humble and not retaliate, but fight with love. You're going to have to say, Dear, would you please forgive me? I haven't been the man that God has called me to be. What's our strategy? Sometimes the best plan is to pray and turn it over to God. Sometimes you want to turn the other cheek and say, forgive me. But sometimes the best battle plan is to take a stand and fight for what is right. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus said, "Don't suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace." Wait a minute. He's the Prince of Peace. "I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword." If you read the context of this verse, you know what he's saying here? If you're going to follow me, it might put husband against wife. It might put parents against children. It might put you against your friends and a brother against a sister. And some of you that have stepped up and took a stand for Jesus Christ, some of you, your family thinks you are out to lunch. And so you got to stay strong and take a stand. When Jesus saw the money changers and the merchants turning his house of prayer into a flea market, he didn't say, "That's too bad." He took a stand and he acted. Or remember in Luke chapter 4, Jesus was teaching in his hometown in Nazareth. Nobody's welcome in your hometown. They threw him out of the synagogue. They took him to the edge of town and they were going to throw him over the cliff. And the Bible says he walked right through them and went on his way. How do you walk right through a mob? Bible doesn't say, but something had to happen for the crowd to begin to part as he walked away. In my mind, he looked at those people with a Clint Eastwood look and said, "Would somebody touch me and make my day?" See, he was going to take a stand. I believe it's time for some warriors, some William Wallaces, some Clint Eastwoods to stand up in this community for what's right. We need to stand for what honors God, no matter what the cost. In 2009, our church's slogan is, "It's time for us to be
bold."
Yeah, it's time for us to be bold, to be some warriors. I respect so many of you that are making a difference in the marketplace. One of our members that I highly respect is Tony Clark, Diamondbacks baseball player. He is not afraid to take a stand in a professional athletic environment. In fact, he believes that we as men should draw a line in the sand and not be afraid to declare that we are warriors as followers of Jesus Christ. Listen to his challenge to all of us.
Oftentimes, Jesus gets portrayed numerous ways. What kind of warrior was Jesus Christ?
Jesus was the man. You know, he was that guy who created havoc everywhere he went because he said and did things that didn't rest real well with those people he came in contact with, simply because he was revealing man's heart everywhere he went. And the ironic thing is you talk about what would Jesus do and how can we be more Christ-like. Well, if that's the case and that's what we're working toward, then that means we're supposed to create havoc everywhere we go with the realization that we are becoming more like Christ day in and day out, to where we have uncomfortable conversations, to where we're convicting and encouraging and pushing believers to step out of their comfort zone and revealing things that are that crust and underbelly of who we are as we work to mold and shape ourselves into the man and father and husband that we're supposed to be. So you read through Scripture and you appreciate not just that he was the Son of God, but that everywhere he went, he was searching out those that were hurting and struggling and battling. And those that thought they had it all together, he was leaning on them and kind of kicking them in the rear end to help them realize that, hey, we're all a work in progress here and we all got a long way to go. Exodus 15:3 says that the Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. And it's something that, really, really hammers home to me, my brother, my family, those who know me. Because I think oftentimes it's lost. You know, being a warrior is being loving, is being caring. It's all those things that you always hear are Christ-like qualities. But the one thing that you often miss is the fact that this man stood up when everybody else wanted to sit down. This man said things to people that most people didn't want to hear. And that takes an unbelievable level of courage, will, commitment, passion. Whether it's modern day and we're stepping into work and you know what, we're going to say some things that people aren't going to appreciate a whole lot, but I'm doing it because my Lord and Savior did the same thing. That verse to me is a constant reminder that we as men of Christ are called to be strong, diligent, and courageous. And in doing so, we will be reflective of the qualities that Christ has.
Will we accept Tony's challenge? Take a stand and be a warrior, which means you got to do something. The action point to this, if you're going to be victorious, I will demonstrate my faith. I just won't talk about it. I just won't put a CCV sticker on my car. I won't just carry my Bible to work. I will demonstrate my faith. I will do something. And yet so many of us today are timid. We say, but Pastor, I don't want to do anything. I don't want to take a stand. That is not politically correct. We need to be more concerned about being spiritually correct than politically correct in this culture today. We need to be willing to take a stand. What happens then if we just be church and we don't take a stand? It happened in the Old Testament. In Ezekiel chapter 22, God said this, I looked for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land so that I would not have to destroy it. But I found none. That is a tragic verse of Scripture. He said, I found none. There was no one who would stand in the gap. And when I think of men and women needed today that will stand in the gap, I look at people that are going to reach down to people, a world today that's struggling and lost and far from God, and we're going to risk in love to point them to a holy God, and we're going to somehow do what we can to bring them together. And if you risk being the man or woman in the gap, yeah, you might get torn apart, you might get ripped to two, but that's what God is looking for today. Or there's the Apostle Paul, who was not afraid to be a warrior, and he stood up boldly and said, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. 2,000 years ago when the stone was rolled today and Jesus was alive, the disciples couldn't believe the story they had heard. They said, he can't be back. He can't be alive. But when he entered that room where they were huddled together in fear, he said, I'm back. And their fear went away. They touched him. They talked with him. They ate with him. They spent time with him. And then they saw him ascend into heaven, and their fear went away, and their courage returned. Of the 12 disciples who followed Jesus, Judas hanged himself. The Apostle John died as an old age on the island of Patmos, and the other 12 disciples were martyred for their faith in Jesus Christ. They died as warriors. They finally said, when Jesus ascended, this is the cause that I'm going to give my life to. Men and women, warriors at CCV, what are you going to give your life to? It's time for the church today to wake up. We're not playing church. This isn't a game. This is life and death, heaven and hell, good and evil. We are in a spiritual battle. That's why following Jesus is not just something you do 1 hour a week. It's not something you do just one weekend on Christmas or Easter a year. Following Jesus must be your life. You were created by God to advance His kingdom. You were created by God to make a difference in this world. God created you, men and women, to be warriors. It's time for us to stand and fight for our families, to fight for our freedom, and fight for our faith. If not now, then when? If not here, then where? And if not you, then who? Let's pray. Lord God, we love you. You are awesome. And you cared about us so much, if we were the only one on planet Earth, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, so that we could get reconnected, reconciled, brought back into an adventure with you. God, today we're talking about being warriors. And I pray that we will not just play church, that we'll come here and feel good for an hour and drop a tip in when the basket goes by and leave feeling good. But we would realize that there is only one way to heaven. It's through Jesus Christ. And there's so many people in this great city that don't believe that, and they don't have hope, and they're scared to death. We have the words of life and peace and hope and encouragement. And Lord, help us just to get with the program. Help us to fight the way you would want us to fight. It may mean, rather than being abusive, we drop to our knees and be men of prayer. And we simply forgive. Or it may mean, dear God, that we turn the other cheek, and even though we know that we're right, being men and women of principle, we walk away and let you handle it. But God, I believe the need of the hour is for warriors and princess warriors to be bold in the marketplace, in the school, in the neighborhood, to not be afraid with love to say that Jesus is more important to me than anything in the world. We pray that we would rise up and give people life. In your name we pray. Amen.